Well, Shalom and Yeshua, we are now going into part two, the harvest of intercession. And we want to open up with Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Yeshua went through all the cities and villages in Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the gospel or Besorah of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. His words and his works reflecting his messiahship. I'm reading again from the Amplified Translation. When he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion and pity for them, because they were dispirited and distressed, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, or Talmudim, "The harvest is indeed plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." So here we see again the key for having a successful harvest in Messiah. We need to pray and intercede for more workers for the harvest. And I'm going to read again from the from my notes. I just put basic information on the screen there, but again, Yahweh is Yahweh of the harvest. The principles of sowing and harvesting are in the very character of Yahweh. Even nature teaches us that. It is the same in intercession. It is impossible to sow and not reap in prayer. Your heart is like the earth. What you put in it, it will produce. The Ruach HaKodesh draws a picture in your spirit, and what you see, you will produce. To see fulfillment in ministry, intercession, and evangelism have to be coupled together in one passionate pursuit of prayer. In other words, to press in with determination to pray until we see the breakthrough. Again, intercession, we need to be determined not to quit, to keep on praying, not to give up until we see again that breakthrough. Those prayers answered, those things, the vision we're praying for, the vision we're keeping hold of that God's given us for our lives in ministry. It's not you pray, okay, you pray one prayer and you walk away. You know, it's continual spiritual battle. And again, next week we will be looking at spiritual warfare. Two, penetration evangelism, reaching out for that which you have prayed for, expecting that God will confirm his word through signs following. So signs and wonders. So again, we need to prepare the ground through intercession, praying the word, praying in the spirit, prior to us going out and sharing the word or being a witness. We need to, again, we need to prepare the ground with intercession. Intercession and evangelism go hand in hand. The day you cut true intercession from your program, you cut the lifeline from your congregation and your life. However, the day you cut evangelism out of your program, it is like spiritual suicide for your congregation. Cut intercession, you cut the flow. Cut evangelism, and you cut the life. You can pray and intercede for whatever Yahweh gives you to pray for as long as you keep, again, Messiah at the center of your intercession, you will hold direction. Okay, the Greek for signs, well, let's look at Mark 16, 14 to 20. Which is actually the last chapter in Mark 16, 14 to 20. Later, Yeshua appeared to the 11 disciples themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he called them to account for their unbelief and hardened of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen from death. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed in me and has been baptized will be saved from the penalty of Yahweh's wrath and judgment, but he who has not believed will be condemned. These signs, semeiom, will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues." This is regarding our prayer, intercession language. "They will pick up serpents." Again, this isn't referring to live snakes. This is referring to spiritual warfare. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well. So then when Yeshua had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of Yahweh Elohim. And they went out and preached everywhere while Yahweh was working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. So again, the signs that follow are followed by, again, the confirming of the word. The word wonders is the word taras, and it means co-worker with signs. We see that in Acts 2:22. So let's go there. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Yeshua of Nazareth, a man accredited and pointed out and attested to you by Yahweh Elohim with the power to perform miracles and wonders and signs which Yahweh Elohim worked through him in your very midst, just as yourselves know. So here we see, again, Yeshua walked in the power. Again, he walked as a man, yet he was still Yahweh in the flesh. But he laid his deity aside, again, didn't take away from it, but again, operated as a man. He said, whatever the Father tells me to say, I say. Whatever the Father that tells me to do, I do. He walked and operated in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh 100%. And signs and wonders, again, attested to his messiahship. So, and then Matthew 24, 24, Yeshua also warns us that in the end days, there will be false messiahs, false prophets who will perform false signs and wonders. Again, that's why we need to walk in discernment and wisdom and knowledge and revelation. And being in touch with the Ruach HaKodesh, knowing the voice of the Ruach HaKodesh, listening to the voice of the Ruach HaKodesh. Matthew 24:24. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear, and they will provide great signs and wonders so as to deceive, even possible, even the elect, Yahweh's chosen ones. Again, we're living in a time where there is great deception going on. There is the ability to create great deception through technology. And I believe that these are the things that the anti-Messiah is going to use to deceive people. So we go on. Just to repeat, the day we cut true intercession from our life and congregation, we cut the lifeline from our congregation and life. However, the day you cut evangelism out of your community, it is like spiritual suicide for your congregation. Cut intercession and you cut the flow, what the anointing, the power of the Ruach. Cut evangelism and you cut the life. Why? Because we are to be growing through people being born again, being filled with the Ruach and being discipled. That's the command that Yeshua gave us, that we are to go into the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. And before we do that, before every Shabbat service, before every endeavor we do in everyday life, we need to be an intercessor. We need to lay that ground of preparation as we go forward in life. You can pray and intercede for whatever Yahweh, Yeshua gives you to pray. As long as you keep Messiah Yeshua as the center of your intercession, you will hold that direction. You know, again, that goes for our congregation as well in our celebration of the feast. Again, Yeshua is center of everything we do. He is the center of our prayer. He is the center of our worship. He is the center of our fellowship. We do not lift up men. We lift up Yahweh Elohim, our Messiah, Yeshua. Yeshua says, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto me. Again, we can never outgive God. Again, this is not just talking about money. This is talking about our life, our service to the kingdom. The more we give of ourselves, the more he gives back 10, 20, 100 fold. You know, that goes through the gifts of the Ruach in our life. Again, we may only have a few gifts that we are walking in, but as we are faithful in using those gifts in the service of Yahweh Elohim, those gifts will increase in our life. The earth is the harvest field of Yahweh Elohim, and our prayer is a seed planted in that field. Again, I want to share, this was just a dream I had. This goes back to like 2015. And as I was studying this and preparing for it, the Ruach brought back to my memory about this dream. Okay, this was it. I was on a large lot with a house, which was ours. It could have been a synagogue building. The land was like a wild prairie with wheat and a pond. People were coming to our property and gleaning in the fields and walking out with bundles of sheaves, men and women. And then the dream ended. So I prayed, I said, Father, show me the interpretation of that. And the interpretation was that we would be a place where people will be fed, i.e. represented by the wheat being, again, the bread of life, the word of God, and filled, and the pond represented living water. So again, when you have a dream from the Lord, you know when it's from Him. It's very specific. Again, it was like I was watching a movie when I saw, again, these people going in to the field and coming out with sheaves. Again, there's a song, Bringing in the Sheaves, and that refers to the harvest, bringing people into the kingdom of Yahweh Elohim. And that's part of the call on this ministry. Actually, it's the call on every believer, on every congregation, is to bring in the sheaves, bring in the lost from the world, feed them, grow them, disciple them, so they can go in turn do the same thing. So again, as I was studying this, that dream just came to me. Sowing again and reaping is not about just about money. And I'm just going to read some verses here. The most powerful promise for sowing and reaping is found in 2 Corinthians 9:6. Again, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. As I said before, I like using the Amplified for my devotional time and prayer time, and just meditating in the word, in the word itself, because it brings out the fuller meaning of the Greek and the Hebrew. So let me just get over there. 2 Corinthians 9. We're going to start at verse 6 and read all the way to 14. Now remember this: he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed. Again, that's a spiritual law. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for Yahweh loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in the gift. And Yahweh is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. Hallelujah. As it is written and forever remains written, He, the benevolent and generous person scattered abroad, He gave to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. And it's a quote from Psalm 112:9. Now He who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing, that is, your resources, and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself as an act of goodness and kindness and love. And you'll be enriched in every way so that you may be generous. And this generosity administered through us is producing thanksgiving to God from those who benefit. For the ministry of this service offering is not only supplying the needs of the saints, Yahweh's people, but is also overflowing through many expressions of thanksgiving to Yahweh Elohim. Because of this act of ministry, they will glorify Yahweh Elohim for your obedience to the gospel of Messiah, which you confess, as well for your generous participation in this gift for them, for all the other believers in need. And they also long for you while they pray on your behalf, because of the surpassing measure of Yahweh Elohim's grace, his undeserved favor, mercy, and blessing, which is revealed in you. So again, there's that law of sowing and reaping, again, is a true principle for every aspect of life. Again, it's not just financial. Yes, it's a part of financial, because we cannot outgive God, but it's also giving our life, using the gifts that he has placed in us in service to others, whether it's on our job, in our congregation. Again, I believe each congregation, the Father calls those and all the gifts that we need. But that's why it's important that we pray and intercede, that when people come, they will receive the word. They will know in their spirit that, yes, this is a place that the Father has called me to serve, and that they will be faithful, and that the enemy will not, again, destroy that word, will not come to try to steal that word that was sown in their heart and hinder them from coming to where God has called them to come. Again, that's where every ministry needs intercessors. We pray, you know, for the vision, pray for the people in the congregation, you know, pray for, you know, those that God brings across our path. Again, that word sow is spiro. I'm going to read Galatians 7-8 in a minute. It means sow or to scatter. Again, if you've ever seen, you know, an old farmer, you know, whether it's a machinery or they do it by hand, they, again, scatter the seed in the field. They scatter it all over the field. They're sowing it into the ground. They're scattering it. Why? So it'll produce what they have planted. Again, you plant wheat seed, you're going to get wheat. You know, whatever you plant, that's what you're going to reap. So we can sow positive or negative, especially with the words from our mouth. So we have to be careful, because we could negate our prayers by, you know, speaking doubt and unbelief, and, you know, praying 1 minute, yes, Father, we believe that you can do this. And if it doesn't happen in 10 minutes, we're moaning and groaning and complaining that, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Remember, God is not on our timetable. We are on his timetable. Sorry. Hallelujah. And his timing is perfect. Galatians 6, verse 7-8. Do not be deceived. Yahweh Elohim is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this and only this is what he will reap. For the one who sows to the flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses, will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. But the one who sows to the spirit, or ruach, will from the spirit reap eternal life. So again, in intercession, we are sowing in the spirit. I'm going to read verse 9. Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will weep if we do not give in. You know, that's one of the things that the enemy tries to use against us. Weariness, which comes from discouragement. Again, thinking that our prayers aren't being answered. But again, this is a warfare. We need to continually be in prayer and intercession. Again, Ephesians 6 shows the armor, our intercessory prayer armor. And I believe, again, some interpret that as the armor of a Roman soldier, but I look at it as you study Torah, it's the armor of the Kohen Hagadol, again, the priest of Yahweh Elohim, who is the intercessor, and Yeshua is our eternal Kohen Hagadol, who's right now interceding at the right hand of the Father for us. So going on to, well, let me read Luke 6:38 as well. Let me go back here. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, with no space left for more. For with the standard of measurement you use when you do good to others, it will be measured back to you into in return. So again, this is a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Sow hate and you will reap hate. Sow love and you will reap love. Sow criticism and you will reap criticism. Sow prayer and you will reap prayer. For Yahweh is the debtor of no man. You will reap what you sow, just so much more. The more you pray for others, the more Yahweh will raise up people to pray for you. Again, we have a heavenly bank account in store for us. So I just want to read again before I go to this. Let me go back here. Again, this is from the intercessory prayer notes I have. The more you pray for others, the more Yahweh will raise up people to pray for you. Number one, to be able to reap on a national level, we need to pray on a national level. Two, to reap on a personal level, we need to pray on a personal level. Three, sure, you can pray for your family and for your needs, but to get others to pray for your family, you need to pray for theirs. Again, the law of sowing and reaping is you are praying and interceding for others. God is raising up people to intercede and pray for you. Four, Yahweh wants you to receive a harvest from your giving. He wants us to expect a miracle return. Why? So we can hoard it up? No, so we can use it for the kingdom and do what he has called us to do, and that's to help and be a blessing to people. Five, Yeshua has paid our debt before the throne of Yahweh Elohim. It is a wonderful completed work. So in our giving, be it money, time, or prayer, whatever we give is not to pay our debt. We cannot buy any favors from Yahweh Elohim, but what we give is a seed. We sow for Yahweh Elohim to work in the principle of sowing and reaping on our behalf. The heavenly bank account. Many people cause their own poverty by selfish prayer, with only avows their lives and congregation. Sometimes our prayer lives are so self-centered that there is nothing in the heavenly bank account that Yahweh can use to multiply on our behalf. So again, we need to ask ourselves, are our prayers selfish? Do we pray only for our family? Do we pray only for our needs? Are we self-centered in our prayers? Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And then Proverbs 24, a sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. Again, you have to sow in order to reap. Let me just go back again. Now is your season to sow. Whenever you have the time, pray. It is your sowing time into the harvest field of Yahweh. Again, if we want to see a harvest in our congregation, if we want to see us fulfill the vision he has given the congregation, that we need to sow prayer. We need to sow intercession. We need to be in agreement with that vision that the Father has given us. And again, I sent it out to you so you know what it is. We need to be in agreement in prayer for those on the prayer list that we send out to stand in the gap for them. We need to, again, be active to see a reaping of the harvest time that we are praying and believing for, to see, again, people born again, filled with the Spirit, delivered, healed, discipled, so they can go forward and do the same. So again, we see that in ancient times, in the times of Yeshua, there were specific times of prayer. Traditionally, we'll start with the top here, from 6 p.m. to midnight. These were the times that you would say the evening Shema. You know, it doesn't mean you have to pray it for, you know, 3 hours. It's just that is a time prior to sleep that you would pray the nighttime Shema. Then we see the Marav, which is again found in this, which is the evening prayers. Again, from 6 p.m. to midnight. And the faded colors denote valid but not preferred times. I mean, there's times that the father, the Rock will wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm like wide awake, So I just, okay, Father, you must have me up for a reason. So I just start praying in the spirit, until I fall asleep again. I remember the other night I had a dream about somebody that I knew. And it was just, again, it was almost like a movie. You're saying that I was in that, talking with this person and sharing with them. And I just felt disturbed in my spirit, that there was something wrong going on in their life. So I just started praying in the spirit and lifted that person up in prayer. It wasn't a long, drawn out prayer. It was just, again, calling up to the Father. He put this person on my mind. He gave me a prayer about him, a dream about him. So I prayed for him. Again, whenever somebody he brings a person to your mind, that's a clue that you need to pray for that person. The Ruach may show you specifically what's going on, and he may not. That's where praying in the spirit comes in. When we don't know how to pray, we pray in the spirit. Because the spirit prays the per we pray in the spirit, we are praying the perfect will of God. If we don't know what it is, there's times people ask me, well, pray about this and this. And if I don't know exactly what the need is, I just ask the Father, may your perfect will be done in their life, because you know what their perfect will is, and may they be submitted to your perfect will. Then here between 5 and 9 is the morning Shema. The morning prayers, again, your Jewish prayer books, and there are Messianic versions as well, have the morning prayers. In our prayer book, we include the traditional morning prayers along with the Shemone Esrei Amidah and Yeshua's prayer in both Hebrew and English. And again, it's really time to prepare us. Some people are, like to intercede more at the nighttime. Some in the morning. Again, you just have to know what your time is, what works best for you. But whatever it is, we just need to be disciplined to do it, because again, that's where the power was. And I was sharing before I was invited to participate in this intercessory prayer group. They are spirit-filled Messianic, Jewish and non-Jewish women of Yahweh Elohim who love Yeshua. And they are their ministry is really, a lot of them is some are congregational leaders, or teachers, but they're all intercessors. So they invited me to be on the intercessory team, and my time was 12 to 1. They were actually praying for 12 hours, but I was only on for like between 9 and 1 o'clock. Because I had Shabbat service, and after Shabbat service, I'm usually pretty worn out. So I wanted to rest so that I would be sure to not miss the time I was supposed to be praying. But it was a real blessing, because as I was listening to these different women, different intercessors, some were interceding in worship, doing, worship in prayer. Some were very, very strong, vocal intercessors. Some were very quiet and, softer intercessors. Again, it's not the loudness of our voice or, how powerful we can talk or how, softly we talk. It's the faith and the power and the anointing of the Ruach. But it just really stirred my heart about the importance of intercession, standing in the gap. Again, so that Yahweh's work can go forth in the world and see Yeshua's return, hallelujah, sooner than later. And then the Minchah is the afternoon time, anytime between noon and 6 and 6 p.m. So it doesn't mean, okay, you have to pray all those hours. This is just the times of those prayers. So you find what works for you. I mean, you can be interceding in your car as you're driving, to work. I know I used to do that. I'd be praying in the spirit, listening to a worship CD. And I think I shared this in part one, I'm not sure, but I would drive past this abortion clinic, which was, right by the street that I drove down, Roosevelt Road. And I would see people outside praying because I didn't know you can't, you know, it doesn't, there's not a sign abortion clinic, you know, it looks like it's just a medical building. And I became aware it was an abortion clinic by the people that were praying and by their signs. So I couldn't stop because I had to get to work. But every time I passed, I would intercede and pray against that spirit of death that was going on in that building. And eventually, through the prayers of, again, many people, that place finally closed down. Hallelujah. May they all close down in Yeshua's name. So prayer is sowing time into the harvest field of Yahweh Elohim. When in need, ask Yahweh Elohim to raise up intercessors for you. So again, as you are interceding for others, pray that others will be interceding for you, for your life, for your ministry. You know, I'm so blessed when I have people that are intercessors and they'll come to me and say, you know, God put you on my heart and I've been praying for you. And, you know, this is what, you know, he's put on my heart to pray for you. And sure enough, it was exactly things I was going through. So as we are serving others, as we are interceding and praying for others, the Father is raising up intercessors for us as well. Again, sowing and reaping. As you are sowing an intercession for others, God is going to bless you back. We have the blessing to draw on harvest time for ourselves. Again, our cry is to pray again for the harvest that, you know, we want to see a harvest of souls. We want to see people again born again, discipled, and sent into the ministries that God's called them to. Make sure you have sown in order to be able to reap. Again, make sure that you have sown according to the word so that we will reap according to the word. It's not pride to ask Yeshua for our harvest in prayer. Equal shareholders. I'm just going to read from the book. I have some of the notes up there, but I've got the scriptures written out here. Because we are not paying a debt, but sowing a seed of faith, Yahweh Elohim has given us the privilege to become shareholders in what he is doing on the earth. Because intercession is not an office, but a supportive ministry, it is possible to become a shareholder through intercession in whatever ministry gift is in action at that moment. When you intercede for someone who is out ministering, although you may not be on the mission field yourself at that moment, you will share in every soul that is touched, every miracle that takes place, and every spiritual victory that is won. And also, we can't become discouraged in intercession. You know, sometimes, especially when we're first starting, you know, we get discouraged because, you know, we don't know what to pray. We don't know. You know, we can't, we get to 10 minutes and it's like, you know, hey, we can't think of anything else to pray about. Well, that's why we have tools for you, you know, to use. We have these, the prayer books that you, you know, can use in your prayer time. You have, again, if you are spirit filled and you again have that gift of the Ruach to speak in tongues, again, that is for every believer. It's a prayer language. It's your intercession. It's a language of the spirit, the Ruach within you to pray and intercede. And again, it's that law of if you are faithful in little, he will make you faithful over much. So, okay, you can only spend 10 minutes. That's fine. Every day, be faithful to spend 10 minutes at whatever prayer time you have set aside. As you do it, the more you pray, the more you have that habit of praying at that time you have set aside. You will grow in your ability to pray. You will grow in your intercession. You will, you know, you may start out, you know, feeling, you know, okay, well, I'm just, you know, praying words. But as you're praying and getting in the Ruach and the Spirit, all of a sudden the Ruach is going to start giving you what to pray for, how to pray for different situations. It's a growing process. Again, the more you do it, the more you grow in it. The more you study the word, the more you know the word. You know, we have to put in order to put out. 1 Samuel 30:24. Again, these are examples about being shareholders, again, in the rewards. This is an example, again, of the Israelites when the men of war went to battle. There were those that went to battle, and there were those who were called to stay home or to guard the armor, but they were to have the same share in the rewards that they reaped from the battle. For 1 Samuel 30:24, again, I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. 1 Samuel 30:24. Again, here we see it's the spoils. Again, David commands how the spoils were to be treated. Verse 24. Let's go back up a little bit. Let's see. Well, let's go. I'm going to start with verse 21. David came to the 200 men who were so exhausted that they could not follow him and been had left at the brook Besor with the provisions. They went out to meet David and the people with him, and when he approached the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men among them, among those who went with David, said, "Because they did not go with us, we will give them none of the spoil that we have recovered, except that each man may take his wife and children away and leave." David said, "You must not do so, my brothers, and what Yahweh has given us. With what Yahweh has given us. He has kept us safe and has handed over to us the band of Amalekites that came against us. And who will listen to you in regard to this matter? For as it is the share of him who goes down into the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the provisions and supplies. They will share alike." Hallelujah. It's the same principle in those who are interceding for those who are going out to do the work. This, the same reward, the same share. Joshua 22, verse 8. Joshua 22, verse 8. And he said to them, "Return to your tents with great riches and with very much livestock, with silver and gold and bronze, iron, and with very many clothes. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brothers, your fellow tribesmen." So again, they were to share equally with those who went to battle and with those who were on the home front. Again, we have only one enemy, HaSatan and his demons. So what do we take from the enemy? Every time a soul has been touched and set free from any kind of bondage, we have taken from our enemy. Through your prayer, you become a shareholder in all of this, and you will receive your reward in heaven accordingly. So what will be the rewards of the intercessor? Again, we look to God and to his ability, taking hold of his ability as we are interceding on our behalf, his ability and power. It lets us serve on the executive council of world evangelism, Psalm 2:8. Again, if it wasn't for the intercessors work hand in hand with those who are, again, on the front line, so to speak. And they are important. They are the spiritual warriors. Hallelujah. 2:8. "Ask of me, and I will assuredly give you the nations as your inheritance, and the ends of the earth as your possession." Again, we need that intercession. Again, we're in a spiritual battle. Again, if you read Daniel 9 and Daniel's prayer, again, there was spiritual warfare going on, trying to hinder the answer coming that he needed. So there was battle going on in the heavenlies. And as we are interceding, our angels are doing battle against a battle in the heavenlies against the demonic forces that are trying to hinder what we are called to do. Again, it allows us to pray what is on the heart of the Father. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. And in part one, we looked at that as well. Romans 8:27. "And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Ruach is, because the Ruach intercedes before Yahweh Elohim on behalf of Yahweh Elohim's people in accordance with Yahweh Elohim's will. So again, the Ruach reveals to us what his will is as we're interceding and praying, what is going on, so we can again target our prayers. That's why it's so important to again take hold of that prayer language that the Father has given you, to that you'll be able to pray in the Spirit and pray in the understanding as well. It makes us a co-worker with Messiah Yeshua, who is standing at the right hand of the Father, interceding and praying for us, because he knows the battles we're facing. He knows the battles that are coming against his people here on earth, Israel, and, you know, believers in Messiah Yeshua. And he is interceding for us, and as we are interceding as well, because if we're not praying, if we're not interceding, we are binding the hands of our angels. Because why? Because our melech, our angels, because they are ministers. Again, they are to work with us in prayer. Again, they are called to be, you know, work with us, be, you know, certain ministers to us as well. And as we pray the word, again, they hearken to the voice of the word, and they were doing battle in the heavenly places. And we'll look more at that when we're looking at spiritual warfare. Again, it as we're praying in the Spirit, if we're interceding, it prays up, it builds up our most holy faith. And I find when I am praying the word and I am speaking the word, I feel strength coming into my spirit. I'm receiving strength. I'm receiving encouragement. I am being built up by the power of the word and by the Spirit of the Ruach Elohim. So Jude verse 20, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith, continually progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, pray in the Ruach HaKodesh. So that's speaking about the word and praying in the Spirit. It makes you a shareholder in what God is doing. Again, we saw that again, how the booty, so to speak, that they took in battle was to be the spoil. They were to divide the spoil with their brethren. So again, God is, again, he is a God of justice. He is a God of equality. He is not going to let one be rewarded and the other one not receive, when they are going to evangelism, intercession, work hand in hand. It brings you into the law, again, of sowing and reaping, which we read in 2 Corinthians 9, 6. And again, we see examples of this. And let's look at, we'll end with this, Exodus 17, 9 to 15, or Shemot, the Hebrew. And we saw, again, great intercessors of the Bible. Avraham, Moshe, Nezra, Nehemiah, Daniel, these great men of God who, again, interceded, stood in the gap, the priesthood, that was a part of their call to intercede, stand in behalf of the people of Israel. Exodus 17, sorry, got to get there, 9 to 15. I'm going to begin with verse 8. Then Amalek and his people came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moshe said to Joshua or Yehoshua, choose men for us and go out. Fight against Amalek and his people tomorrow. We'll stand on top of the mountain with the staff of Yahweh in my hand. So Joshua or Yehoshua did as Moshe said and fought with Amalek. And Moshe, Aaron, and Hur went up to the hilltop. Now when Moshe held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he lowered his hand due to fatigue, Amalek prevailed. But Moshe's hands were heavy, and he grew tired. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Then Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. So it was that his hands were steady until the sun set. So Yehoshua overwhelmed and defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then Yahweh said to Moshe, write this in the book as a memorial and recite it to Yehoshua, that I will utterly wipe out the memory of Amalek and his people from under heaven. And Moshe built an altar and named it, Yahweh is my banner. So here we see an example of Moshe, Aaron, and Hur being the intercessors, again, holding up their hands. They were standing in the gap, interceding. But when, you know, they, so that Israel, again, could be victorious in the battle, but when they grew weary, you know, it's, hey, you hold your hands up for a long time, they're going to start getting heavy. So again, we see God sending Aaron and Hur to hold up Moshe's hands. Again, it's really kind of a picture of the intercessor holding up the hands of those who are out there doing battle. Again, it's a spiritual warfare. That's why the interceding, as we're interceding, it gives us strength to go on. You know, when one is weary, the Lord will put on heart, you know, you need to be interceding and praying for this person. They're weary. They're battle weary. And when we get battle weary, God will raise up somebody to pray for us as well. Matthew 6:33, and we'll get to the end of part two, which is the end of the session. Actually, what happened is I put the recording on pause and forgot to put it back on. So this is why this is a part two. It's just a continuation of what I started to teach. Hallelujah. Okay, Matthew 6:33. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of Yahweh Elohim, and all these things will be given to you also. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So again, the context of this, it's about, again, when we are anxious, Yeshua is saying, don't be anxious. Trust the Father that he will meet your needs. And again, that comes with prayer and spending time with him, knowing what the word says, encouraging us in the word, ourselves in the word. When David grew weary and discouraged, what did he do? He encouraged himself in the word. Hallelujah. So that is the end again of this session. Again, this is intro to intercession. And again, I want to, you know, add as well, we enter intercession and prayer with an attitude of faith, believing that the Father is watching over his word as we pray it to bring it to pass in his timing. So we cannot be discouraged if when we're sharing with people, they don't receive it in the way we feel that they should receive it. We need to allow the Ruach HaKodesh to work in their lives. We are sowing seeds. We are sowing seeds through prayer and intercession. We are sowing seeds in the word. We are interceding for people to come and water that seed sown and for people to come and see that harvest. Again, it's God's timing. And again, we can't be weary in well-doing. We can't be weary in intercession. We can't be weary in what God has called us to do. We need to remain faithful. And I encourage people to keep a prayer diary. Write down who you are praying for, what you're praying about. Write down dreams he gives you. Write down scriptures he gives you. Keep a record. So why? So as you are, again, entering into a new battle, you could look back and see, no, God answered my prayer here. He was faithful. He provided, you know, and we encourage ourselves in the word. Again, we need to, again, pray and intercede and take advantage of the gifts that he has given to us. And as we are faithful in over little, he will make us faithful over much, and that includes gifts of the Spirit, that includes gifts and callings in our life, ministry, whatever. He is looking for a faithful people. So next time The next session, I'm going to be sharing on spiritual warfare. And we are always going to be looking at as well in the authority of the believer, how we are to do battle. What is the correct way to do battle and take authority over the enemy? Again, these sessions were birthed by, again, questions and conversations we had on Shabbat. So, you know, I praise God for them because it was a blessing, you know, because I thought, well, you know, as I was praying about it and, you know, thinking about our discussion, I says, no, this can't just be answered in one sentence. We need to lay a foundation and teach and give the correct biblical understanding on how, again, we are to minister to people. Again, the foundation is, before we do anything, is to lay a foundation of prayer and intercession. Hallelujah. That's the only way we're going to succeed. That's the only way we're going to grow in our lives and to see the power and manifestation of Yahweh in our midst, preparing our hearts for Shabbat, preparing our hearts for the fall feast, for the spring feast, for every Shabbat. And again, it's a growing period, but we want to become, again, strong men and women of Yahweh Elohim. Hallelujah. In Yeshua's name, amen.